All right, hey, big week here for Ole Miss. I don't even know if you're aware, Michael, but there is a playoff game in Oxford. But shout out our buddy Michael Katz from the DJ Journal. How are you, my friend?
You know, it's funny. This team's 11-1, and I almost forgot there were games being played for a while. There was, as I'm sure you're aware, a lot of commotion around the program, even the last time we spoke. It got really weird a few weeks ago, and now it's over. I think a lot of people in that building are happy there's football, just to focus on football. So much of the attention was taken off of this team this year. Again, this is the first 11-win regular season in Ole Miss history, and all anybody wanted to talk about for the majority of the year, and that's partially our fault. But, you know, it was about the head coach and what he was going to do, and he didn't put it to rest. And, you know, we ended up, you know, again, this is a college football playoff team that I think really for the first time in months finally feels like free of this burden. And actually, they just get to go play ball now. I'm sure that's probably really nice.
Yeah, that's kind of right where I wanted to go with you. Just being there in Oxford and getting a sense of, you know, the fans and things of that nature. But where is the anticipation level for this historic game? Is it down because of all the speculation and the coaching turnover and the fact that it's, you know, if it was like Notre Dame, I think it would be completely different. But no disrespect, it's Tulane, and Ole Miss is a 17.5-point favorite. Is there a sense of anticipation in Oxford right now just surrounding this game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you bring up the opponent, and, you know, again, they played, it would have been exactly 3 months ago, and that was a 35-point Ole Miss win. I don't think the game's going to go the same way, but if we're looking at it, Ole Miss is definitely the better team. I mean, I've seen this before. I've seen how they match up. We did this before. So, you know, it's a good matchup for Ole Miss, but obviously, you know, earlier there was, you know, could it be Notre Dame who comes here? Could it be Miami? You know, there are all these, like, really cool possibilities, and I'm not saying like Tulane was anticlimactic, but you know, I don't think anyone loves rematches, especially ones that were really lopsided the first time. You know, Alabama, Oklahoma, like that was a crazy game. I think Alabama is very excited to play that game. You know, it's a little bit different feel, but at the same time, I just think that with the way, really since this really all started when Billy Napier was fired. This whole Lane Kiffin, Willie Stair, Willie Go. Actually, it really started last year when they kept Billy Napier, because everyone was like, okay, like, are they really going to keep him? Is this just like a placeholder thing? And then, of course, the next week after Billy was fired was when Brian Kelly got fired. And really, since then, all anyone has talked about is Lane, and is he staying when he's going? And Lane, of course, the king of the non-answer on that one, even until, you know, 2 days before there was no answer. And so I think that the way it happened, it's one thing if a coach leaves for a better opportunity. I mean, that's no one's going to blame us if we take better jobs, right? Or what we perceive as better jobs. But you don't publicly send your family out to scout homes. You know what I mean? That could have stayed hidden. And I think like the way that certain things happened left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. And just the sort of games being played. And again, like even a couple days before, you know, he officially left, Juice was tweeting about the SEC championship game, you know, which again, insane sentence, but that's where we are. You know, it's like, oh, do they allow dogs? I'm just like, oh, my dude, we're really doing this right now? I don't know if you're going to be here, buddy. You know, and so I just think that the way it happened really soured people. And I think now that it's over and there's been a few weeks to sort of let the dust settle. And, of course, you know, I think people were really happy with Pete getting the job, Pete Golding, mainly because he is a football guy. He is all ball. As he said in his intro press conference, he's not doing yoga. He's not doing pickleball. This is a guy that is just he's all football. And I think that, you know, he's a guy who clearly loves Ole Miss. You know, he came here for a reason. And I think that energy has really kind of raise this thing back up anticipation wise, where I think it could have gotten a little bit low. I don't think it ever would have been super low because, again, it's the first playoff game in the history of this program. It was always going to be a pretty big deal. But I think that just now that that chapter of Lane Kiffin, it's over, it's done. You know, we'll look on back on it in a few years and see if people think differently, but it's over. You know, now it's a new era, and it's a team that I think that fans have really gravitated towards this year and maybe didn't get a chance to have it see get put like the appreciation it deserved nationally. And now that whole thing is over, people are like, wow, like this team, man, they got this quarterback and this running back and this defense that lost all these guys that ended up being pretty good. I think that now it's the anticipation is back up because I think they realize that, hey, like people are looking at us again, not just for our coach, they're looking at the program. And, you know, I hate using the cliche, like America's team thing. Cause you know, everyone's always going to have teams they root for, but like, you know, I talked about it with Keith Carter, the AD, like if you are an unbiased person, I think there's going to be a lot of people pulling for Ole Miss right now, just because of everything that happened with them over the last few months. And you can blame the schedule, you can blame Lane, you can blame whatever you want. But that was really brutal, the way this all unfolded for Ole Miss. And so there's a lot of anticipation. You know, this weekends in Oxford always bring in a ton of money. I think I saw something like up to 70 mil was the projection. And I think those are always a little, take this with a grain of salt, but it's not going to be fun to drive around town Thursday and Friday. I can safely say that. But it's, I think that anticipation when it could have maybe gotten a little bit lower is back all the way up to, I really think as high as it possibly could be, because I think this team legitimately thinks it can win a national championship.
Yeah. It's like you're reading off my notes, Michael, because that's exactly where I wanted to ask you about. I literally have America's team written down here, but if you don't have a rooting interest, if Ole Miss is able to beat Tulane and then go and face, I think this would be the Sugar Bowl, Georgia, another rematch, ironically, but I would imagine if you don't have a rooting interest in any teams in the playoff, though, it's kind of hard to not to root for anybody other than Ole Miss, and what an opportunity that could be for this football program that has been through a lot. I mean, they literally could be the darlings of a lot of people out there, and that's a big opportunity for this program.
And it's quite the turn from where Ole Miss has occasionally been historically, not always necessarily America's sweetheart for a plethora of reasons. We'll just leave it at that. But, you know, I think that just, you know, obviously the storyline of Lane and his one foot out the door for however long you think it was, whatever, the fact that he leaves the first playoff team in school history to go to the second most played, you know, rival, you know, that Ole Miss has, like, that's a gut punch. And then, you know, besides that though, you've got this team with a bunch of really cool storylines. Again, you know, we talked about Trinidad Shampless, but I don't think it can be like overstated, like how insane his story is. Again, this was Austin Simmons, the Heisman contender when the season started, right? He had the Vegas odds. He gets hurt, and Trinidad Chambliss, the, you know, the little guy from Ferris State, ends up becoming a second team All-SEC player. Like, it's nuts, the rise and the way that he really led this team. He got here in like June. I mean, it's really crazy how successful he has been here. You got Kewan Lacy, who, again, he was a guy who you know, didn't play a ton at Mizzou last year. They bring in a new running back too. He comes to Ole Miss, and he's a Doak Walker finalist. You've got all these wide receivers who, you know, you don't want to say like one-year deals, but they brought in a bunch of older guys who wanted a chance to do something special. And then again, you've got a young defense that replaced, I mean, I don't think this is a hot take, probably the most talented defense you've ever had. Walter Nolan and Princely and Pooh Paul and Trey Amos. And they had the rough patches, but they ended up being pretty good overall. So I think that the story, you know, people root for stories, right? Storylines. If you don't have a dog in the fight, you root for things that tug at your heartstrings. And I think that this Ole Miss team with the Lane Kiffin stuff, with this, you know, even looking back at last year, that was the team that was supposed to make the playoff. It wasn't supposed to be this one. This was the rebuilding year. You know, they came up, they were so close last year. And then, of course, Billy Napier ended it, as fate will have it, in Gainesville last year. You know, this is the team that kind of came out of nowhere and did everything that, you know, a lot of people didn't think was possible. So I think that just the storylines of Lane, of the players, of coming up so close, just coming up so short last year and really just kind of catching up everybody off guard. I mean, this team is one fourth down tackle away from being undefeated against Georgia. They were a fourth down stop away from being 12-0. I mean, going to the SEC championship for the first time. Obviously, it didn't happen. But, you know, this team has just kind of defied expectations all year. And I think that if you're choosing, you flip on TV and you say, I don't really care. But if I'm going to pick a team for a couple weeks, Ole Miss looks pretty good because, again, everybody knows what happened with the coach. That was the biggest headline all year, for better or worse. And this is a team that lost one game, a game it should have won. They were up 9, I think, heading into the fourth quarter at Georgia. Has defied all expectations, has just a really cool cast of characters. And they've got a head coach who is just so different from Lane that I think that if you are on the Ole Miss really kind of went through hell, because of Lane Kiffin. Then you look at Pete Golden, and you're like, oh, we love this guy because he is just like, he's so not Lane Kiffin. So I think there's a lot of people who are going to kind of fall in love with this team. And, the environment here is going to be crazy. I know it's not the biggest stadium in the SEC. Lane Kiffin has told us that. This is a place that's going to, it's going to be filled to the brim. I think it's going to be really cool, and I think people are going to see the energy around this program, and I think that I think they're going to make some fans.
Speaking of Pete Golding, I really wanted to ask you your impressions of him as the Ole Miss head coach, and because from the outside looking in, it seems like he's making a lot of the right moves. He's brought back the offensive coach John David Baker to be the offensive coordinator. What's your early read on the job that Pete Golding is doing at leading the Ole Miss program?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's the superficial stuff, like the way he talks and all those sorts of things. He's obviously very different than Lane, but he's also smart enough to know that this team is on one of the best stretches it has ever had in program history, and you don't fix what isn't broken. That's why he brought in John David Baker, because it's the same offense as Charlie's. It's that same tempo offense. And John David Baker did a really good job at East Carolina as a first-time play caller these last couple years. They're bringing that in for continuity. Pete is still going to call the defense because it's worked pretty well. There's the report that they're bringing in, Frank Wilson from LSU. There's a lot of swaps going on right now, Ole Miss and LSU. Maybe there's cash considerations or a player to be named later, in one of those trades, but, that's a great, I mean, if that ends up coming through, that's a really nice hire for Ole Miss, because he is one of the best recruiters in the country and he knows Louisiana. And I'm sure that's going to make fans here feel a lot of fuzzy feelings, that he's not staying on Lane's staff. But I think that, he's retained guys. Obviously, would you have loved to have kept Charlie? Of course, Charlie did a great job here. But he made his decision, and he's gone. But you brought in a guy who you feel like is going to be able to do the same sorts of things. You kept your offensive line coach. You kept Joe Judge. You kept Randall Joyner. And you brought in a guy as your general manager who is familiar with your program, because he was at Ole Miss before he was at LSU. And then, of course, he also was traded back. Calvin Bolden is back. I think Pete's done a really good job of bringing in guys that he trusts. He's not an ego guy. He is not going to hire people that he even said it today, like, he understands that he would be stupid if he thinks that he's the smartest guy in the room every time. That's why he's been talking to Joe, because Joe Judge has been a head coach, right? He was the head coach of the New York Giants. You pick his brain right now, right? Pete's never been a head coach. Talk to Joe Judge about how to handle certain situations. He's smart enough to do that. And I think he's smart enough to bring in guys that He's not going to be scared of them, or, you know, this is all about making the program better. And he's done a really good job of that. And then, of course, there's, you know, there's the press conferences. One, they're a lot longer than they used to be. You know, as I'm sure you know, Lane Kiffin press conferences weren't always the most verbose television out there. He swears from time to time. He wants to talk ball, and he will give you, he is not going to sugarcoat things. And, you know, again, like, this is my fifth year covering Ole Miss. You get used to a way a certain guy does things, right? And then when you get something new, it's just like, this isn't like better or worse. It's just like jaw-droppingly different. And it's been that way from all aspects on Pete so far. So, you know, obviously we'll see how he does as a head coach. There's no way to know because he's never done it before.
Right.
But he's hiring good people around him, smart people around him. He understands that he can't do it all. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And you mentioned Judge, you mentioned Frank Wilson, you know, he's getting guys that have head coaching experience, which I think is very valuable for a first time head coach. And speaking of, you mentioned his cursing. Did you see what John Summerall said about him this week? Were basically, first of all, he was very complimentary of Pete Golding. He says he's a huge fan of that guy. And he said, I curse, but I like talking to him because he curses so much. It makes me feel like I don't curse at all. So I just thought that was pretty funny. But where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. Well, and again, you've kind of laid it all out with Kiffin. I'm sure you're tired of talking about it. And this is not me bashing the guy. This is what I always tell the audience, Michael. I tell them the truth as I know it. And so, hey, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, there's a lot of speculation that players will follow Kiffin to LSU. And I think it goes without saying. People are wondering about Trinidad. There's the video of Kewon Lacy. You know, he could be gone. But it's my understanding, and again, please correct the record if I'm wrong here, that Lane Kiffin, aside from probably his favorites, the quarterbacks and Lacy and things of that nature, I don't know that I would strongly caution anybody that I don't think there's going to be a mass exodus of players that follow Kiffin, because the way I understand it, I don't think he's got a terrific relationship with that many players. Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, money talks, right? And that is ultimately probably going to sway some guys. And of course, he does have close relationships with some players than others. And maybe that is something that ultimately does it. But, you know, I thought it was really telling, you know, when Lane released that statement when he was taking the LSU job, and he said, you know, players begged me to coach in the playoff, and players started responding and being like, That's not what we said. Like, that one, what was said in the room, brother. Like, you have the starting center, and you've got, you know, Santarian Perkins. And, you know, when I talked to Keith Carter, he was like, he put it so nicely. He was like, I don't think everything that Lane said was accurate. And I'm like, well, that's one way of putting it. You know, I think that this just went on for so long, right? And there was just, you know, so much mystery and vagueness, and you know, I think the most impressive thing is how the players handled this all year. I mean, I think a lot of teams take the 2022 Ole Miss team when the Auburn situation was happening would have fallen apart, because that's what happened to that team. This team just kind of, they banded together, and they just kind of, they leaned on themselves. And, you know, we talked to Diego Pounds, the offensive lineman, yesterday, and he said this team is just so tight, you know, because everything they've been through in the summer and the spring and the winter. And then I'm sure that these last few weeks have probably brought them together too. I think that would they have loved to have kept Lane? Of course. He did amazing things at Ole Miss that you can't fight history, right? This is like the most successful stretch Ole Miss has had in maybe ever, at least in a very, very long time. But the way it happened and the messaging, I think not the way that it ticked off fans, I think it ticked off some players too, that they are just like, hey, like, we're over this. Like, we just want to focus on, like, we're a playoff team and no one's talking about football. I think that I'm sure you saw the video of when Pete Golding was announced as head coach. It was like, it was excitement. It was relief. It was a little bit of everything. Cause it was like, okay, like we can focus on ball for the first time in months. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know what's going to happen with some of these higher profile guys, but I think the idea that there's going to be a mass exodus, I don't know if I believe that. I could be totally wrong, but just from, you know, conversations and seeing the things that have been put on social media by players in those meeting rooms, I don't think it was the cleanest breakup. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm.
And then I believe Pete Golding has already come out and said he's going to continue to call defensive plays. Is that just for this season, or has he stated that that's next season as well?
Going forward as well. He is going to be on the field. I think he was in the box for this year, but he had been on the field before. I don't remember why they switched it up. But Brian Brown, who I believe is going to be like a co-defensive coordinator kind of thing, is going to have a bigger portion of like the game planning and whatnot, and like the prep and the practice stuff. Pete's going to be calling plays still, not just over the next few weeks, but in the next year too. You know, he's very confident in what he does, and it's work. So, you know, is that going to be a long-term thing? We'll see. I know sometimes coaches go in gung-ho and then it doesn't always work out. But you know, he has every intention of doing it. He's done a nice job of it. And he, you know, as he said, like, he looked players in the eyes when he recruited them, and he said, we're going to run this system. And he's a guy who's going to keep his word. So, so he's going to have a little bit taken off his plate, I think, just in terms of preparation, but he's going to be the play caller still. He was not shy about that.
All right, Michael. Hey, I really appreciate your time. I just got one more question for you. What do you think is more realistic here? You got door A, you got door B here. Where door A would be, you know, this wild weeks of events and all this hoopla and transition and where's this coach going? Where, you know, are we getting Weiss? Are we not? You know, yada yada yada. And this team, as a massive favorite, overlooks Tulane and it's like a disaster. Or door B, to your point, hey, we can finally focus on football. We're done with that. Let's go out here. We're America's team. And we just go out here and we whoop some ass. If it's door A or door B, what is a more realistic scenario for Ole Miss against Tulane?
I think door A is tempting, because it's really hard to beat teams twice, right? And especially with how that game went the first time. Like, we've seen rematches before, and they do not usually go the exact same way they did the first time. That being said, I think this team just has so much energy around it right now. They're better personnel-wise. I don't think there's a question there. You know, they have their coordinators still. It's Charlie Weiss is calling plays for the playoff run. It's still Pete. You know, obviously there's just a different guy who's got the final say in things, but they've kept as much the same as they possibly could. So I think with all those things in place and just the energy around this team, I think door B, is it going to be a 35-point win? I don't know. I was pretty shocked when that happened the first time, because I thought Tulane was really, really good heading into that game, and they ended up being really, really good. Ole Miss was just a lot better in that game. And so, but door B seems probably like the choice I'm leaning towards, just because it's just with everything that's happened and the fact that they can just play ball again, it's just hard for me to see them letting this moment pass them by.
Right. And to your point, you know, games are, you know, it's not going to be the exact same as it was last time. I rewatched the first one this morning. The Tulane quarterback, he didn't complete a pass until like literally 10 seconds left in the first half. I mean, he was awful. And that was a big reason why Ole Miss ran him. But I can't imagine he plays that poorly. Now, he may, but it's hard to imagine anyone playing that poorly twice.
No, for sure. I mean, I think quarterbacks in that game completed 35% of the passes. I mean, it was 10 out of 29 or something was the final. I mean, it was just disgusting. but I will say one thing that will work in Ole Miss's favor is Tulane has been bad against the pass all year. They are 121st in pass defense. Trinidad Chainless in his second career start lit them up. and he has gotten better since. So you add in all the things I said earlier, and the fact that Ole Miss has a quarterback who is really confident, a bunch of receivers who feasted the last time. Again, leaning towards toward B.
All right, Michael, really appreciate your time. Before you go, can you tell our audience how to give you a follow and how to find your work?
Yeah, so you can go to djournal.com. That's the website where you can find my work. If you're willing to put up with some memes as well as some occasional news, it's at Michael L. Katz, K-A-T-Z. I'm going to plug my own work here. I did a big story on Pete Golding today that I'm biased. I think gives a really cool picture of him. I think people are learning about Pete for the first time, and it was really fascinating for me to learn about him. So there's my one
point. Yeah, he's a very popular guy among coaching circles. So for whatever that's worth, you know, who knows? Ole Miss, they may have themselves one hell of a coach. We'll see starting here on Saturday. But I think getting past the drama will be good for everybody.
I know one thing, and the guy is no longer on the sideline, and I think that's going to make some people happy.